you've just joined us, you're watching Stockwatch, and joining me in studio this evening after a very trying day on the markets are David Shapiro from Sassman Securities and Wayne McCurry from F&B Wealth and Investments. If you'd like to send us questions, please do. You can SMS stock and the question to 41392. You can email stockwatch at bdtv.co.za or you can tweet us at businessdaytv using the hashtag stockwatch, if only to commiserate. David, Wayne, thanks very much for joining us. So our overall close was well over, what, 2% down today?
More.
Where did we close?
Over 3%.
Over 3% down.
If you're looking at the top 40, that was even closer to 4% down.
Okay. So there are a lot of vile expletives that you could attach to the market today, but what actually happened? What dragged us so much?
Well, it was a bit of a perfect storm there. We had relatively poor Chinese economic data, which put commodity prices under pressure. Then you got the lingering Turkey issue, which also doesn't help anyone. Then you got the Moody's saying the government can't control its expenses and it must keep a sharp eye out on that. But then Tencent came up with their results and they missed a little bit on revenue, but they missed massively on profits.
Yeah, the first time there's been a profit drop. So it wasn't even that there was a profit increase that undershot expectations. There was actually a profit drop of 2%.
And it put the skids under nice bass, obviously.
Yeah, and it's rather disturbing because the gaming revenue, which is really the force behind Tencent, was down about 19%. And I know you've probably spoken about the freezing of games. So if you don't keep bringing new games, then gamers are going to start getting bored and not playing and going elsewhere or doing other things. And I think that's one of the reasons that you're finding gaming revenue down. So they've got to keep coming with new games and new aspects of those games, and that's been frozen. And there are a lot of reasons why, but I think there's also the Chinese authorities getting worried about kids becoming, or not even kids, players becoming addicted to these, and also about the social aspects of it, because you blow up things, you kill people and blow up.
Quite tempting, really, when you're driving around in traffic or what, reading your Twitter feed and considering what the politicians are getting up to.
It's not a bad idea for a game that you can actually have a console of the driver in front of you and press a button and there he goes, boom.
Okay, so before you talk about the general market, and yes, I have to confess, 3.7% is where we closed today. So,
understand, Tencent, NicePass is 21% of, I think, let's call it 20% of both the all share and the top 40. So where a share goes down 8%, that could do a lot of damage.
Not a great place to be if you're a passive investor right now.
No.
And there is actually a question, and before we talk about other factors affecting the market, saying, can someone please explain why every single analyst is completely wrong about NASPAS? They all value the share somewhere in the region of 4,000 to 5,000 rand, and yet it's nowhere near there. There's also not one sell recommendation on NASPAS or Tencent.
Well, look, you must remember, just not to talk specifically about NASPAS for a second or two. All analysts, David, myself, everyone who talks about investment markets is trying to predict the future. So don't think you can do this with any degree of accuracy. You are trying to predict the future. So bear that in mind whenever you hear any forecast or any recommendation. Second thing is, clearly no one was expecting this result from Tencent. And thirdly, this is one result. It doesn't mean the whole thing's flopped in a heap now and it's never going to come back and it's dead forever. Mm. This is one quarter result. Mm. Now, when you listen to management at Tencent, they're adamant, chaps, this is still all going well. Yeah, we've got these few problems with games now, but we've got another 15 games coming and it's not a question of if they're going to get released, it's when they're going to get released and our long-term thing is still on track. So if you believe management, this is a blip.
And David, if I can before you talk, one of the reasons why you've got the price of 4,000 to 5,000 is because there's such a deep discount between
in
where
NASPAS.
And NASPAS trades relative to its investment in Tencent, and that's one of the reasons why people have these much higher valuations, if you like.
That's one of the reasons as well. But going back to Tencent, which is a driving force. Those analysts are taking, as Wayne said, a 3 to 4 to 5 year view on it. If you look at the number of people who are number one using their pay system, they're very clever. They have on Chinese New Year, you know, it's tradition to give someone an envelope, I think a red envelope with money in, etc. They've digitized that. So they've got 800 million users of their banking system. They've got WeChat, which is used, it's far more, it's much wider than what do we use WhatsApp here?
Yeah.
They use it for all aspects of life. So it's the gaming side that hurt them. But they'll correct that. There's another element as well I have to bring up as well. They're not like Facebook or Google where they force advertising down your throat. So they're very restrained in this respect. Now, if they really want to start playing with the levers, they can double the number of adverts, etc. Because I think Facebook and WeChat and Google are advertise about 10 times more or show 10 times more the adverts than, say, the Chinese are much more restrained. So, again, this is a one-quarter result. This is not the end of the company by far.
Yeah. And maybe just one last question on NASPAS and Tencent. Tencent was down about 3.6%. So why would NASPAS be down that much more at 8%?
Well, it didn't fall. You saw the price of Tencent early on. NASPAS has not nearly fallen as much as it was Tencent. It has fallen up to today. Now, look, there clearly was panic in the market. There's clearly guys who had long positions, who were caught short here, who just had to clear at any price. So there was panic specifically in Tencent, but there was a little bit of panic right across the market today.
The first Tencent's results came out after Hong Kong had closed. We were still open, so we own NASPAS. So tomorrow you'll see the impact. Yeah,
understood. And then just maybe on the broader market before we get to questions, Wayne, you mentioned weaker growth in China, commodity prices. And now I've been reading a couple of Financial Times articles, one I think last week or so, talking about how copper is telling us not to worry a bit, it's telling us to panic. And certainly you talk about panic out there in the market.
Yeah, copper has fallen quite a bit. But
should we be panicking with what the copper price is doing?
Well, I mean, who knows? Panic is a terrible word. But let's look at copper. Copper got to, now my numbers might be wrong, but my levels aren't wrong. Copper got to a high in 2010 of, is it 10,000 or 1,000 per ton or per pound or whatever the case is. But let's just call it 10,000. 2015 it fell to 4,000 and now it's gone up to 7,000 and fallen back to 6,000.
Mm. Okay. And just below at the moment.
Yeah, it's just below that at the moment. Understand, whatever happens now, it's at a significantly lower level than what it was last time it happened. Because last time there was way further to fall. You've also learned that about 40 is the most it's going to fall to before it recovers, because life cannot get worse for resource companies than what it was in 2014, 2015. The third fact is the resource companies have cut their cost base enormously and got their cost of production down enormously. So even if the price falls, doesn't mean they go into a loss situation and virtually go bankrupt like they did last time. So there'll be far more resilience. So Anglo's isn't going to 50 again. You know, Kumba's not going to 25 again.
Yeah.
But yes, it is cause for worry. But you must understand, it's not the copper price that's telling us to worry or panic. It is the potential continued slowdown of global growth that is very, very symptomatic of a turn in the cycle that is now being compounded by President Trump and his trade wars.
Okay.
That's what we're actually looking at here. All of these are just symptoms of it.
Yeah.
I think the worry is that commodities are famous trading markets. And if people start to feel that slowdown, the traders come in, the middlemen come and start pushing the price. And what concerned me today, and I've been watching this for a long time, is that platinum's now at 760. Now, I don't know. In my head, I had 1,200 as being a break even for the whole industry here. It's certainly above 1,000, 1,100, whatever. When we get to 760, it means more and more shafts are going to become under pressure.
Yeah.
And we need, you know, we need decent prices to save that industry.
Mm. Look, the industry other than Amplats, and Amplats is only the one mine.
And maybe Northam, actually.
And Northam is probably okay, and Zimbabwe operations of Impala. The rest is so underwater at current prices. But that also tells you thing, the current price is unsustainable.
Yeah.
And it doesn't fall often below 900 and stay there, by the way.
I know, it's pretty shocking, and the Rand's not
helping at matches.
No.
Okay, so moving on to questions. So talking about global growth worries, the question is, I have a small portfolio and I'm considering selling it and then reinvesting it in the US market. The reasons are as follows. I'm horribly concerned about the South African economy, as well as the political antics that are taking place in our country. The minimum amount, and so this person is referring to a very specific brokerage, the minimum amount required to invest in interactive brokers is $10,000. Brokerage fees are $1 per trade. And with the rand dollar exchange rate, it makes it more profitable for a South African investor to buy and sell at a lower dollar profit. The US market opens at about early afternoon. Using a US stock market program, it will be possible to connect directly with the stockbroker's computers. What advice and warning do Wayne and David offer on a scheme that looks to be too good to be true?
It's fine. All that is a platform.
Yeah. You still have to go and buy and sell your own shares.
You buy and sell your own shares. You have to go through the same kind of FICA arrangements and transfer the money as if you were opening an account offshore. And they're a highly respectable company.
And if you're
what's
nervous,
his name?
You
Thomas Pettity or something like that. He's a very, very wealthy man. So it's perfectly fine, but it's in your, everything's under your control. You have to make the decision. And I have to give a warning. If you want to analyze the US market, break it down, because it's been driven up, and I'm a big fan of the US markets and I'm heavily involved in it. It's a handful of shares that have done it. So you've got to know where you're going. Don't think you can just buy US and going to make money. There are a lot of underperformers there as well. It's been mainly the tech companies that have actually given US market their growth.
Yeah, but look, I mean, putting the platform aside and what you use, you can do your own investigations into that. If you are worried about the world and slow growth rates and China and trade wars, be very worried about the US share market. Eh?
Because it's expensive.
Yeah. The US share market is more expensive than the South African market. And if you're concerned about the South African economy, don't sell our share market. Eh? Our share market is not a South African share market. It's only really the retailers and the banks that are South African shares, or the retailers and financials. You saw that when the rand weakened, our index went up, because it's massive rand hedges on our index. So don't think South African all share index is representative of South Africa. It is not.
Yeah, unless of course you're buying maybe the smaller mid-cap companies that are very locally exposed.
Yes.
I'm going to leave it there for the moment. If you'd like to send questions, please SMS us or email us, and we'll be back shortly. Welcome back. Let's have a look at what's happening to U.S. markets at the moment. Not great things. The Nasdaq down 1.33%. The S&P 500 almost off 1%. And the Dow Jones trading 0.9% weaker, although it's downside better than where we closed today, which is almost 4% lower. The FTSE 100, however, giving up 1.5%. And the European markets, as you can see there, having a pretty torrid day. Still with me in studio, David Shapiro and Wayne McCurry. So U.S. markets under pressure too. What there are the factors affecting them? Is it commodity prices? Everything that's affected
worried.
Us.
Everyone's
them.
Worried.
Yeah. Okay. But I think also Tencent is disturbing.
People,
it's disturbing people as well. So it's disturbing the whole NASDAQ, and that's why it's kind of spread through as well. But people are a little skittish at the moment, and also they're still in holiday season. Volumes are very low. So I wouldn't get too carried away with it. I wouldn't get too worried.
Yeah.
We haven't had have we had any tweets from Trump?
No tweets yet.
Other than calling that lady a dog and what's it, a low life, which, you know, it's what you expect from American president.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
a
kind of language.
Sort of president.
Yeah.
It's Ferragosto in Italy, which is the mid of August, and that's generally the traditional, everyone is on holiday.
Yeah.
So. Now, Morris asked us this question, and I remember it a couple of weeks ago, where he said, can I buy this share? Shouldn't the question be, what can I short? So he said, hi team, I asked the below question on the 25th of July, are you still buying? And those buying must really know what they are doing. So we did discuss it.
Yeah. Well, look, first of all, I mean, to go back to a previous question, we don't really know what we're doing because this is not a science. You know, you don't have an accuracy rate of 98%. You know, if you're good, you have an accuracy rate of 60 or 65%. On shorting, of course you can make money shorting. But the odds are actually stacked against you, because over time, the share market goes up. It doesn't go down over time. It goes up over time. So exactly the same answer as last time. Be twice as careful before you short something versus buying something.
Yeah, it is. And you know, you can hold on. If you buy a share, you can hold on forever. When you short a share, you're a limited time, because whoever you borrow the shares from, whoever you short to, wants to, you know, will at one stage want to unwind that position. So it's more a trading type tool rather than an investment type tool.
Yeah. Okay. Although if you buy a bum share, then unfortunately
you suffer the consequences. It's hard to find bum shares. You know, it's hard to find bum shares where you've got to be ahead of the market. The market, you mustn't, you've got to be at a, in a position where the market doesn't know it's a bum share.
What I mean is when you buy a bum share and then you hold it you see your wealth disappear before
but
your fingers.
But by not buying anything, in essence, you're going short.
Yeah. But just go back to literally just about the only rule in investments. Just be well diversified. So if you want to short something, that's fine, but don't put all your money into the short. Yeah. Just because it can go wrong.
Which is why even those pesky hedge fund managers that Magda Vizichka had a go at today have long, short strategies. So they have the both. So speaking of us sort of going short, there's a question saying, please could you ask your guest to clarify this. If I bought Old Mutual CFDs, when the Nedbank shares are unbundled from it, the Old Mutual shares should drop by the equivalent value of the Nedbank shares. Will they give me the Nedbank shares or CFDs for that value? And will it adequately compensate me for the difference and leave me in an equal position to before the unbundling? Conversely, if I short Old Mutual with CFDs, when the Nedbank shares unbundle, the Old Mutual shares should drop. And is this a clever possible trade or a trap?
The people who run these CFDs know exactly what they're doing.
So a trap.
You will be in the same position.
Yeah.
Whether they do it by adjusting the price of the CFD to allow for the Nedbank, or they do it by giving you a CFD on Nedbank there, well, this has been looked into for years now. You know, so any unbundling, any options, you'll see you buy a call option on a share with a certain strike price, and before that option expires, they do an unbundling, and there's an adjustment, there's a mechanism in the option price strike adjustment to allow for that.
Mm. So basically, you'll end up paying fees on brokerage, but you're probably not going to end up in any better position.
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Moving on. There is a question about the mining index. So going kind of back to where we began, the mining index has dropped about 22% since Gwede Mantashe became Minister of Mineral Resources. Perhaps Gwede needs to look at his watch list every day. Is he doing any better than the discredited Mose Benzi Zwane? Same political issues seem to be there. So should I exit my small investments in mining, as it seems it's not viable in South Africa anymore? It seems only Zama-Zamas see them as viable.
Let's take a step back. It's purely coincidental that the shares have fallen since Gwede's taken over. It's not he's not responsible for these shares falling.
Although, having said that, he hasn't actually initiated any radical policy improvements.
Well, he came out with a new mining charter that is 10,000 times better than the previous one. There's only one sticking point in the new mining charter, and that's his 10% free carry, and there'll probably be a compromise on it. Now, it is a radically different environment, and every single mining company I talk to is so relieved with the new mining charter in comparison to the old one. So don't even put them in the same boat, quite frankly.
Okay.
And the reason why mining shares are falling is there's a turn in the cycle, rising US interest rates, rising US long bond rate, and falling global growth is the reason why the mining shares have come off.
And which is reflected in falling commodity prices.
Yes, correct.
Also, when you look at Gwede, if you look at the mining index, a lot of our mines do not mine in South Africa.
No,
so there's very little mining in South Africa that actually falls under the charter. If you look at Billiton, which is the largest company, Glencore, another one, very little exposure.
Anglo's
has very little exposure. So to an extent, you haven't
got... They're global companies, not South African
companies.
Although,
I mean, just reading between the lines in this question, if he's talking about Zama-Zamas, he's talking... This person...
Gold and platinum, very different.
Okay, and potentially this person is invested in small mining companies, which don't... And Bernard Swanepoel has been extensively on record to say they don't get the support from government they should. They don't get tax breaks, the kind of things that would develop a small, a junior mining industry.
And I also think the mining charter, you can't afford those carries that Wayne's talking about, because smaller mining companies really mine on the margin.
Yeah, but look, if you're a smaller mining company and you buy the shares, do your homework properly on these. They're small for a reason. Okay, and then gold and platinum, I mean, gold industry has been declining for 20 years in South Africa. It is a twilight industry. There is just no question about that.
I don't think there's any gold left here.
There's hardly any gold left here.
If they're going to close down South Deep or certainly cut the operation, I'm not sure what's really left. It must be very, very small.
Little. Mm. And I mean, if you take platinum, there's still plenty of platinum around, but you need 1,200 an ounce to mine it profitably.
Yeah.
And at 700, 800, 900, there's no expansion there. There's only contraction in that industry.
Yeah. Some smaller shares. What's up with Adapt IT, Cullgro, and Attack? I know Adapt IT is coming out with results tomorrow, so maybe we should wait to discuss what they actually produce in terms of their numbers. The common theme being they're all small cap shares.
Property market's difficult in South Africa. Yeah. In fact, I'm not sure how the average South African property company can grow the distribution at inflation plus. I don't think you can.
For example, today you had Emira. So I know on a day where huge things were happening on the stock market.
So Wayne, are you still around it?
Okay. So Wayne, the dividend per share was up 2.5%. And I suppose that's not bad considering that 2 or 3 years ago, Emira was warning about negative reversions.
Mm. No, look at
so it actually grow the dividend. But that is not above.
But I mean, it's your rentals aren't growing. Every time a client renews their rental agreement, the base underlying rental drops, the so-called negative reversions. Electricity and water and municipal rates are going through the roof. You're being squeezed from every side. You need economic growth of 3% plus so you can get a bit of rental growth to get your distributions up.
I mean, would you say, having had more than a decade, having had, say, 15 years of fantastic growth from property companies.
Shares.
From the shares. We are at the start, maybe 2 years into a steady, persistent decline in the property.
It's been 10 years of very low interest rates, or relatively low interest rates.
Look, these are effectively bond proxies. That's what they are. And in the bull market, a lot of the bigger property companies, their yields got down to 6% to unprecedented low levels. You've never seen property companies trade at 6.5% yield. They normally trade 8-9% yield. So there's a bit more rationality that's returned to the valuation of the property market at these higher yield levels.
Okay. Getting to stock. Well, David,
I'm not going to say anything.
I don't want to interrupt you before you.
No, I was just going to say that in the South African property market, there's always been this built-in 5 to 10% or 7% increase in rent every year. That's coming to an end.
Yes.
And I think there's resistance to this, and it's a lot harder to get the kind of rental increases that you used to get in the past, particularly in the retail side.
Yeah. Getting to topics. Wayne, you are holding back.
Holding back, but with a little qualification. At 3,000, I think Naspers looks good value. I'm a bit cautious to buy today because it might fall a little bit more tomorrow. But at this sort of level, as long as you believe Tencent management and they say effectively everything's all right, it doesn't disturb the long-term outlook for Tencent. So at this sort of 3,000, I mean, it's been there before a couple of months back where I also recommended it.
Remember we used to have the bets, and those bets were at 2,000 or 1,000.
I know. Well, and now we're at 3,000. We need another bet, actually. Yeah. We need another luncheon to jolly ourselves along.
More than just a luncheon, maybe even two.
A long liquid luncheon. So potentially a flutter at Naspers, maybe when the dust settles. And David, you're looking at a company called NVIDIA.
NVIDIA. And what do NVIDIA do? They make semiconductors for the gaming industry. Yes. But today they came out with a new one called the Turing, as Alan Turing. Named after him. Which is a monster of a chip, way ahead of their competitors. It embodies. I'm not technically inclined. You know, Wayne's much better than. You know, which is it embodies AI and it's a new generation for gaming. And why I bring this up is that when have a look at that chart. But why I bring it up is that, and it's really directed at the guest, you know, who asked about the American market.
Yeah.
If you're going to go into the market, do your research. In other words, you can find companies that will still grow, but you have to work hard to find those kind of companies. But this is a fabulous business. Mm. You saw that chart, bottom left,
bottom left, top right. Yeah, it's a winner in our
book. It's a Shapiro chart.
Okay, James, we shall leave it there. Thanks as always for joining us. David Shapiro is from Assassin Securities. Wayne McCurry is from F&B Wealth and Investments. And we'll be back tomorrow night with more of your questions. Have a good evening. You're the best.